While Wisconsin's heroin problems have gotten attention from the media, lawmakers, and public health groups in the state, methamphetamine use often gets less attention.
A collaboration of law enforcement offices throughout western Wisconsin made headlines early last month when they announced the bust of a large-scale methamphetamine ring in the region after a year-long undercover investigation.
In recent years, meth has been increasingly prevalent in western Wisconsin, often coming from neighboring states, particularly from the Twin Cities area. According to our next guest, the addiction fuels related crimes and has outpaced other drugs in the region.
Joining us from the WPR studio in Eau Claire is Matt Rokas. He's chief deputy of the Eau Claire Police Department. He's been involved in the ongoing investigation into methamphetamine in western Wisconsin. Matt, welcome to Central Time.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me today.
How widespread is the use of methamphetamine in Wisconsin?
It is probably the drug that we're seeing most commonly here, the most common dangerous drug, and it's been having a terrible impact on our community in certain instances.
In general, it seems as though the drug we hear the most about in Wisconsin is heroin. We hear often about the heroin epidemic. There's been legislation introduced to help combat heroin. Why is western Wisconsin being so hard hit by methamphetamines?
It has to do largely with geography. As you mentioned earlier, these types of drugs come in through regional centers. And in western Wisconsin, our regional center is Minneapolis-St. Paul area. So a lot of the dangerous drugs that we see coming into Eau Claire and into our region come through Minneapolis-St. Paul. And in those cities, methamphetamine is far more prevalent than heroin.
So it's the proximity to the Twin Cities.
Yes, absolutely. The heroin epidemic that is being seen in southern Wisconsin and southeastern Wisconsin, that largely comes in through Chicago and the Chicago area through Milwaukee, and Eau Claire in western Wisconsin is a little bit further away. So, we're more closely tied with crime trends and drug trends that are related to Minneapolis and St. Paul.
So it used to be when you thought about methamphetamine or you read about it in the papers, it was someone who had a home lab and was making it themselves, maybe distributing it. Is that still the case?
That's not the case anymore. That was the case or the trend that we were seeing probably 10 to 15 years ago. But very smartly so, there was some legislation that impacted that and stopped those home clandestine type methamphetamine labs. Right now, pseudoephedrine, some other agricultural ingredients that are used for manufacturing methamphetamine are much harder to be accessed by the people involved in this activity. And so we don't see the clandestine labs that we used to.
So essentially you're talking about how, for example, when you want to buy Sudafed, which has ephedrine in it, or pseudoephedrine, you have to show your ID to a pharmacist.
That's correct, and you can also only buy a limited amount of quantities at a time, which makes it much harder to purchase or acquire enough ingredients to manufacture methamphetamine on a larger scale.
So if it's not being made in these labs and it's being brought in from the Twin Cities, is that where it's also being manufactured, being made, or does it come from somewhere else?
It comes from somewhere else. We've got some very good partnerships with the federal government, with the FBI, the DEA, and some of those other agencies that look at these issues on a broader context. And the information we're getting from them is the methamphetamine coming into our region through Minneapolis-St. Paul is in large part coming from Mexico.
In terms of the cost to the person buying it and the law enforcement burden, how does it compare to heroin use?
The cost to the user, methamphetamine is used in very small quantities. An individual use of methamphetamine would be a quarter gram, which costs about $50. So it is a little bit more expensive than an individual use of heroin, but it is still an inexpensive drug and can be bought, purchased, and used in very small quantities.
And I want to talk specifically now about the case that you worked on that resulted in the arrest we talked about. It's a big investigation. It took a long time. How did it begin?
Well, it began with just a number of our local investigators were receiving some information from witnesses and some informants about a couple of individuals in our region that were trafficking large amounts of methamphetamine into our region. And they began working the case from there.
What goes into an investigation this large?
A lot of man hours, a lot of hard work, and a lot of coordination. If the people that we identified as part of this conspiracy, they're not just from Eau Claire, they're not just from Chippewa Falls, they're from our entire region. So our investigators had to work together with our regional partners, with our drug task force, and in order to identify all of these people and understand how they all interconnected with each other.
So there were, what, 20 people who were arrested in this?
20 people to this date that have been arrested. Three of those 20 were indicted by a federal grand jury for the Western District of Wisconsin out of Madison. Those three individuals that were indicted federally, those are the individuals that are on the higher end of this drug conspiracy. And so they were bringing the drugs into our region from the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. They were distributing it to the 17 other suspects who were charged in state court. And those 17 were then further distributing it to the lowest level drug dealer.
So when you arrest 20 people involved in the meth trade in a region, how does that impact the levels of crime and meth use?
It hasn't had a significant positive impact on that. I won't say that we don't have methamphetamine in our area right now. We do. But we have this drastically reduced the amount of meth that's available. And there's a lot of other crimes that are committed to fuel the dangerous addiction that's caused by methamphetamine. And it's too early to say, you know, the impact of those other related crimes, but it's very reasonable to believe that we will have had an impact on the other crimes that support meth abuse.
One thing I noted as I was reading about this for today, looking at some of the pictures of the people who are arrested online, a lot of these people very young. Is that typical?
It is. I think statistically, you know, the age group or the demographic that's most likely to be affected by methamphetamine are, you know, males, early 20s. But this really ran the gamut. I mean, there was people from all age groups and people from a lot of different socioeconomic backgrounds. And it was very surprising to the investigators involved as well.
And meth itself, from what I've seen, has a pretty ravaging effect on users. Is that something that you think has been a deterrent to its use in Western Wisconsin? Or I guess, can you just put that into context about the danger of the drug itself?
It's a very dangerous drug. I mean, the ingredients that go into it are not things that we would typically think about ingesting or bringing into our body. They're dangerous chemicals, and they are very dangerous. We don't see people dying, you know, just from a single usage of methamphetamine. That's just physiologically not how it works, but it has a very dangerous long-term impact, you know, affecting one's cardiovascular system, their nervous system, and it has some very long-term dangerous effects.
Now, when we talk about heroin, we often talk about the broader effect that it has on an entire community. Can you tell us a little bit about how methamphetamines affect the region at large in terms of the burden on law enforcement, on the community, and also just the way, I guess, the region is seen and functions from a crime perspective?
Well, there's a couple different angles or perspectives on the impact. I mean, you know, the one good thing about this investigation that was done is these 20 people will, you know, have been removed from our community by and large, and we hope that they'll be held accountable for their actions. Unfortunately, these 20 people were drug dealers, and they left behind a very wide, a large group of people that are still addicted to this dangerous drug. And so those people are still going to be struggling with this addiction. And that's obviously very impactful, and it's a burden on our community. It's a burden on those people that their lives have been destroyed by this drug. As far as, you know, the other impact is, the other crimes that are committed to fuel this drug addiction. A lot of frauds, thefts, identity theft, shoplifting. A lot of these people have children, and obviously if your life is being ran or directed by drug abuse, you're not taking good care of your kids, you're not being a good father, you're not being a good brother, a good son, and so it's the tentacles are broad, and it destroys lives.
What kind of treatment is available, particularly, I guess, in Western Wisconsin, for people who are having trouble with meth abuse?
That's where there's a gap that can be filled, or it would be helpful to have filled more so. Drug treatment is very expensive. It's very hard to obtain. Some of the people that are involved in, you know, the criminal end of drug use and drug trafficking, there are treatment options that are court ordered, are mandated as part of their sentences. But just the other person that maybe hasn't fallen into this, it'll be hard to get. There are very good social service agencies in our region that can provide referrals to, you know, clinics or other treatment options, but it's somewhat limited and it's expensive.
We're talking right now with Chief Deputy Matt Rokas of the Eau Claire Police Department about the recent uncovering of a large-scale methamphetamine ring in the region.
And we'd like to hear from you. Have you noticed the presence, the impact of methamphetamine in your community and maybe crimes related to it? Have you or someone you know been addicted to meth? How has it affected you or your family? If you work in law enforcement, social services, the schools, are you seeing meth cases making trouble in your area? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over at the Central Time Facebook page.
We're back now with Chief Deputy Matt Rokas of the Eau Claire Police Department talking about the recent uncovering of a large-scale methamphetamine ring in the region. Meth is particularly prevalent in western Wisconsin.
And we'd like to hear from you. Have you seen meth in your community as a problem for your community, maybe even in your family? Call 800-642-1234. And if you're a professional who might have encountered meth, maybe as a teacher among your students, a law enforcement officer, social worker, healthcare provider, I'd like to hear from you as well. Call 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're going to go right to our phones right now and take a call from Amber in La Crosse. Hi, Amber.
Hi.
Hi, what is your take on methamphetamine in the state?
I was just wondering if it was the chief or the deputy. He said that he noticed that a lot of meth either comes from the cities or Mexico, and if he has also noticed that there are any one-pot methods in the Eau Claire region where meth is indeed being made in an individual's home.
Okay, so you're wondering if these small operations are still out there, and Deputy Rokas, is that true? Are there still what Amber says are one-pot operations going on around Eau Claire?
They do occur from time to time, or we have seen them. Actually, approximately about 2 weeks ago, we did have one. That was probably the first one we had seen in about 2 years. But they still are out there, and it's the manufacturing and of that, you know, utilizing that method it's dangerous, but it's not as common. But yes, it's still out there.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Amber. And we're going to move next to Bob in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hi. What do you think?
Well, I left the area a few years ago from up north on the range area, and it seemed to be quite full of it around there. A lot of people I knew were using it, and I left for 5 years and came back, and after getting rid of all the people that I knew in my life that used it. And I came back, and I saw so many people that were still doing it and how it affected their lives and their kids. And it was just, it's so hard to watch them. And seeing these people, make it through treatment, some of them, and it helped them. But, boy, they really need to want it. And when they do, it's so good to see. But there's so many of them that are still lingering in that addiction that it just tears them apart and tears their families apart. And these people dealing it are just trying to make money, I guess, but they don't understand that they're feeding into devastating families and neighborhoods and kids. And I've seen people pawn their kids' toys for it. I've seen my biological mother was addicted to it, and luckily treatment helped her.
Wow. Well, Bob, it sounds like you've really seen a lot and been through a lot with the people around you who've been using methamphetamine. Stories, there are a lot of them about families being torn apart and the trouble making it through treatment. Deputy Rokas, is that typical, the stories that Bob was telling?
I think Bob hit the nail right on the head, and that's truly the important part of, these scenarios or what's occurring is the impact on the families and the children. Obviously, there's people that are crime victims, that are victimized in order to support the habits, but those individuals that are close to the meth abuser or meth addict, those are the ones that are truly, also victims in this. And you know, when you talk about kids or you talk about children, these users are responsible for their care, and they obviously aren't taking good care of their children. They're not being good mentors. They're not doing the right things for them, and those kids are getting a starting life out, you know, obviously with some pretty significant uphill battle.
And Matt, do you know anything about the long-term effects of meth use on a person's body and maybe their brain chemistry?
Yes. You know, I don't have a lot of specifics, you know, physiologically of what happens, but yeah, it's a terrible drug. I mean, as far as the, you know, the components of it, the impact it has on the, you know, on the chemistry of the brain, cardiovascular system, these people that are using it and ingesting and taking those terrible chemicals into their body, they're feeling those effects long term for the, you know, the few that are able to break that addiction.
Well, thank you for that call, Bob. And we're going to move next to Larry in La Crosse. Hi, Larry.
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to talk about what happens to the family. My granddaughter has been a heavy drug user for quite a few years. She has two children, so we got custody of them, my wife and I, and we're in our 70s. But now we're raising two great-grandchildren. And the justice system here in La Crosse, I don't know how bad or good it is, but I know that there's hardly any treatment. So she has been through the revolving door with justice sanctions, with court appearances. Right now she's in jail, and she's going to prison. And not just for drug abuse, but because she's a thief. She stole from us. She stole from her mother. She stole from her mother's in-laws. So, and the appearance thing, I'm telling you, it's terrible. I've shown her pictures of what she used to look like and what she looks like now. You would hardly recognize her.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. And, you know, your granddaughter's lucky she's got you to rely on with the kids and as a solid foundation in her life. Matt, is this something that you see, that often the families, the children of meth users, end up having to seek other care with other family members?
Yes. As a matter of fact, yesterday we just placed two young children with a grandparent, just as your caller described, because of their mother was a meth user, a meth addict. She was being arrested, and obviously the home setting there was completely unacceptable, and we had to do that and work through social services to make that placement with a family. You know, the situation your caller describes and what we dealt with yesterday, those are, you know, fortunate situations in that there is that family support there in the background, but many other kids don't have that.
So if there is a situation where there's a user who has children but they don't have the family in the area to rely on, what happens? Are there resources for those children?
There are. We work with our local county Department of Human Services, our juvenile intake office, and you know, if that situation where a placement needs to be made outside of the family, you know, foster care, halfway houses, and other options are available. But you know, you're taking a traumatized child and putting them into a, you know, not a dangerous situation, but one that's obviously very hard for them to assimilate back into.
Thank you so much for your call, Larry. Appreciate your story. And we're going to move next to Maggie in Pewaukee. Hi, Maggie.
Hello. I would like to address the piece where it comes through the other door, where it comes through the doctors who I think know what they're doing with these drugs. There has to be some sort of monetary kickback. But I have a daughter who, and the fact that it knows no boundaries also. I have a daughter that has a master's degree. She was brilliant. She had an accident, fell into a sinkhole and broke both bones in her arm, and they started giving her this Norco, these pain treatments, you know, these pain pills. And she, for over a year, and she did have to have surgery. She was in a lot of pain, but she got addicted to that. The withdrawal was Suboxone, which is a form of meth, I guess, for withdrawal, because my other daughter, who's another baby nurse, uses that for the babies in the nursery that are being withdrawn from the meth mom, who are, you know, the mom's back another year later, I'm sad to say, with new babies with meth. It's very sad. But the Suboxone, there's very few doctors that are licensed for it, and they just charge these outrageous amounts. And the state pays for 1 year of the pills. They won't pay for the doctor. But they'll pay for 1 year of withdrawal on Suboxone, meaning to be tapered. And this doctor just never bothered to taper my daughter, and he kept giving her as much as she asked for, as much as she needed, and the pharmacies, I'm surprised they didn't cross you know, each other, cross look and feed that had she picked it. She figured out a way that she knew which pharmacist was on which day, and she had a relationship with like seven different pharmacies in order to get this.
Let's get our guest in on this. Maggie, thank you for your call. Is there a link, Matt, about between prescription painkillers and methamphetamine, or is that primarily a heroin association?
We're primarily familiar with it as a heroin association, and that's kind of what's led to the increase and rise in heroin use and the heroin overdoses is the addiction that starts with those prescription pain medications. We haven't seen it too much in our region linked, the link between heroin and methamphetamine. But the prescription medication your caller was describing, I've heard of that being used and, trafficked and sold, illegally in our area. So, I don't know much beyond that.
In our last moments here, Matt, could you talk a little bit about what's available to educate teenagers about the dangers of methamphetamine before they start using it?
Well, I think it starts in the family. I mean, if there's that strong family foundation there, they should, seek out their parents, talk to them about it, what they know about it, and the parents can get them on the right track. Health classes in the school setting are also a good place to go to. And online, there's a lot of good information through statewide efforts that we've had in Wisconsin about methamphetamine awareness, the dangers of methamphetamine, and what should be done if you or someone close to you is being impacted by this drug.
Matt, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
We've been speaking with Chief Deputy Matt Rokas of the Eau Claire Police Department about the recent uncovering of a large-scale methamphetamine ring in that region. Meth is particularly prevalent in western Wisconsin.